A study that's come out and said that the Premier League has an all-new low of the number of club-trained players. Now, club-trained players, for those who don't know, are those aged 15, 21, when they joined the club and spent 3 years there during that time. Now, there are a lot of players in the Premier League who you can think of that would have been this. I mean, Steven Gerrard was obviously that for Liverpool, John Terry for Chelsea, and surprisingly, Cesc Fabregas for Arsenal because of the time they brought him in. But we've now got to a point where it's an incredibly low number of players that actually have been graduating from their club academies. Only 11.7%. Now, if we look at the amount of clubs that are getting internationals in, on the other hand, you have a look at Man United, for example, who have 72% of their squad as an international squad. Now, do you guys reckon that it's a big problem to have so many internationals in the squad and so few club-trained players, or do you reckon that it's better for the sake of the league and you get more entertaining football?
I think it's inevitable. You know, with the amount of money and commercialisation that goes into the sport at the moment, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think, you know, teams are always trying to bring in the best new young talent and perhaps not raise up and invest the money that they've spent on these players bringing in and not invest it on, you know, improving their youth club, improving their youth facilities, and, you know, really bringing in some homegrown talent. You know, you look at the likes of City in the last couple of years, you know, ever since they've been taken over by the Arab billionaires, and, you know, it's come in and they've literally transformed the club into a team that wasn't really challenging to the for the title, and now they're always going to be there first or second come the end of the league. So I think it's definitely something that needs to be changed, but I can't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, would it not be good to say, though, that it's better to have all of these big stars coming across, because it means that you're going to get a more entertaining brand of football and you're going to have a type of football that is more popular to an international audience?
I think a balance, it's the way forward for this. I honestly think that, as an example, in Chelsea, they have Oscar and Willian, and I absolutely love to see Brazilian players playing Chelsea. I just really like, I think that Willian, he has been doing quite well. And I just like to see how football is becoming a globalized stuff. It's not about anymore where you come from, but how talented you are.
But then isn't that really a point saying that, you know, these internationals, it's a good sign for the league? I mean, yes, we'll have fewer players potentially playing for England, or it would just be the best of the best that come through, and there won't be that many, there won't be a great width when it comes to English players in the future, at least in the Premier League. But it does mean we get to see week in, week out, these Brazilian players, for example, or, you know, Spanish players, German players, players who are from the best nations in the world. We get to see them week in, week out. Is that not better for the fans?
It's not. I don't think it's so cut and dry. You say we get to see the best players week in, week out in the Premier League, but looking at the Premier League's talent at the moment, in my opinion, it's pretty awful.
Led by Jamie Vardy, a non-league player a few years ago.
Obviously, Jamie Vardy's having a fantastic season, but looking at the top teams in the Premier League, they don't have anything on Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, do they at the moment? I mean, go back a couple of years, I don't know, I'm a Chelsea fan, so I'll look back to the glory days. But look at 2007-2008 Champions League final. You had a great mix in both Manchester United side and Chelsea side of English and foreign talent. You know, you had Wayne Rooney, that was homegrown, obviously. You still had players like Ryan Giggs, Rio Ferdinand, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Ashley Cole, alongside the likes of Ronaldo, Drogba. So you had a fantastic mix, and that mix doesn't really exist anymore. We've lost Steven Gerrard, we lost Frank Lampard. These English players from the Premier League are disappearing, and there's not many top English players left there.
Do you not think that 5 years down the line, we will have big names again, but it just won't be the same big names that we would have grown up with?
It's hard to say, just because the words potential and England are hilarious combinations. I mean, how many years has it been going on?
Every World Cup.
We're going to win. We're going to get to the semis. We've got the potential to make it. And then when we get there, let alone being managed by Roy Hodgson, God.
And out.
I mean, it just...
I'm so sorry. This is not going to happen. Not anytime soon.
It's painful to see these players emerge from academies as really talented lads. And you're thinking, these guys are going to go all the way and make it to the top level. But it just isn't going to happen anymore. They don't get the opportunities. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as a Chelsea fan, Nathaniel Taloba, Josh McEachran, players who were touted for greatness as an England player, they're not going to make it. Let's be serious.
And it seems that Russian athletes have been doping and have been taking some level of steroid, etc., to try and make their performances go up. But the question is this something that is just confined to Russia, or is this a problem that is across the entirety of the Athletics Association? What do you guys think?
I think, you know, we've seen it. We've definitely seen evidence of doping in other countries in the world before. Obviously, you know, I think if you look at your, you know, obviously the main one to look at is obviously Lance Armstrong and his whole cycling scandal, winning multiple Tour de France's, and everyone just assumed that he was a brilliant cyclist, and then it turns out he had been doping for several years. And so I don't think it's just in Russia. I think that what makes this more important is that it's not just focused on one sort of aspect of athletics, it's of the whole athletics. Is looking back at the 2012 Olympics and perhaps saying that they were somehow sabotaged by Russia, but, you know, not one to really, I don't really follow athletics that much, so I wouldn't really know what is the root cause of this. But, you know, I think that it's absolutely ridiculous when you think about, you know, other professional athletes that have put in so much work in their sports. And, you know, I think that to have doping in any kind of sport is just absolutely, it's just a discrimination to the whole of sport and not just athletics alone.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think, in my opinion, I think it's an excuse to blame Russia, honestly, because this is not something that just happened in Russia. And they were claiming as well that this would be a way to give an example to other sportish people for not trying to do it. But I think this is just an excuse for blaming Russia for something which is pretty not cool and very not an athletic thing to do.
Well, I mean, Ed Warner, who is the UK athletics chairman, has come out and said that it's not only Russia that's doing this. There are about five or six countries that are partaking and are ruining the sport. But do you reckon that, you know, Warner is being harsh enough by saying it's only five or six? Do you reckon that there might be some level of doping going on within British sport, or perhaps
definitely,
you know, US, etc.?
I'm pretty sure. There must be, because first of all, they weren't caught when this event happened, right? So maybe this is happening right now and we don't know, because many sportish people, they have never been caught. So
now, do you reckon that athletics can learn from the likes of baseball and cycling, who have had so many problems with doping so far? Or do you reckon that the system is now, it's so far gone that perhaps these drugs and the doping scandal has gone so far within the sport that it's going to take a really massive reform or push to actually sort this out?
I think, like you said, it will need a big change. Reform is probably not what's needed, rather revolution, a whole new sort of structure or shift towards one to try and control this. Because it is so hard, in all fairness to all athletics associations, to police this whole scandal of seeing who's doping. I mean, you can say check every athlete, but the time it would take to do so is just not realistic when doing the athletics events. There's no real solution that's staring us in the face and how to combat it, because, you know, I can understand why an athlete might go and dope, because what they'll be thinking is, well, if my opponent's doing it, then he's getting an unfair advantage, so why don't I go and do it? And there is one train of thought that suggests one solution is to allow everyone to do doping, because then there's no sort of unfair advantage gained by any athletes.
Well, isn't it then an unfair advantage to those who are trying to get into the sport, but, you know, they're not expected to take drugs, or they don't want to ruin their bodies, because a lot of the steroids, etc., that are being taken, they can lead to horrible side effects further down in their careers. And then, in a way, aren't we just trying to advertise the idea of wrecking your body in order to achieve greatness in the short term?
Yeah, I don't advocate it. I was just saying that is one way to level the playing field, to be honest. It's the only solution that I can see now, and that solution is a very nice word to place on such a ridiculous thing to say, really. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate in that way. Mm-hmm. But it's such a hard thing to do, to manage such a what appears to be widespread, like you said earlier. You know, four to five countries, the likelihood it's more, and do we know if it's going on right now? So it's,
I think it's going to take some time until they decide to do a proper scheme, which this won't be a problem anymore. I think that if country, they actually became responsible in just checking their athletes before they play or before they competing, that would be a good viable way to make it work. But I think, yeah, it's going to take some time to develop this idea and make it happen.
I think the only problem with that is the fact that so many drugs now, they've become so advanced that it's very difficult for them to screen properly for them, because they essentially develop them in such a way that it is very difficult to find out about it. I mean, for example, with Lance Armstrong, it took such a long time to figure out that he was doping. I mean, 1999, for example, is when he started, or perhaps, you know, that's just when he was at his peak from it. And at the time, no one knew, because their technology wasn't wasn't quite up to the same level as was needed to actually discover the drugs. And it's always a problem with this, that we're having to battle against the constant movement and pushing forward of the drug technology compared to what we're expected to find about them and how we're expected to go about locating and telling if someone is on some sort of steroid.
I think if you look at both sides of you know, just sport in general, you look at, you know, the athletes, and if they're involved in doping, then they obviously know that they're going to be checked. And I think that there is going to be some kind of, you know, you've seen it with the likes of Lance Armstrong, who will, you know, pay millions of pounds to cover it up and, you know, to make sure that he's got a clean slate and that he doesn't perhaps have to go through these doping tests. And, you know, I think, and then if you look on the flip side, you look at the companies that are going to be, or these athletics associations that are going to be investigating and setting up the tests, you know, it takes far lot of more money than it does to, you know, just perhaps screen once every maybe 4 years, as opposed to, you know, doing it every year when there's a major tournament going on. So I think that there's got to be a balance, and I think that there's always going to be, you know, I think that if you look at the situation of Lance Armstrong, you know, he was the best cyclist of his generation, and, you know, you look at him and you look at the sport in general, and perhaps the athletics board for cycling will look at that and think, well, wait a minute, if he gets done for doping, then it's going to look bad on us for a sport, and, you know, we might not attract as many viewers as we perhaps might have hoped to have attracted. So if you look at that as a point, and I think that when you look at it from that perspective, then perhaps, you know, it's got to be down to the governing boards of the sport to, you know, take a bit more of a better action and to be like, well, wait a minute, hold on. If we don't do anything about this doping at the moment, then it's just going to spiral out of control. And, you know, come 5 or 6 years' time, it's going to be, everyone's going to be doing it. And we got so caught up in trying to protect our image as a sport that we've forgotten about this. And, you know, we've got about 1,000 people in our sport that are doing drugs.
But what do you think they're supposed to do to discourage players? Because if they want to do it, they are unlikely to just stop just because the government or someone is telling them to stop to do drugs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But this is it. This is where these associations have to definitely crack down, and they have to, you know, they have to say, why? Well, if we catch you doing this, then we are going to ban you from the sport, and, you know, it's tarnishing our reputation as it is. So if we catch you doing it, we are going to have to, you know, there's no, you're giving us no other opportunity but to ban you from the sport.